Welcome to the final episode of Series 2, Butterflies on the Wheel, and we've decided for a little bit of a change of tack for this final episode, guys. We're going to discuss our problems in a constructive, calm way. Isn't that right, Raghu?
I always discuss my problems in a constructive and calm fashion.
I say, what problems?
Exactly.
I'm just coasting.
Yeah. We've actually also got a guest for this final episode, a little bit of a special treat. Caroline Elms, how are you doing today?
I've had the worst fucking journey of my life. I arrive at Highbury and Islington Station thinking, cool, it'll be 10 minutes to Hackney Central. Well, 10 fucking minutes. Yeah. And someone on the platform is going, oh, I'm going to kick the guards. Yeah, you
you're
kick them, mate.
The
I didn't realise there was a problem with TFL.
The entire thing we're doing.
On this fucking overground. What even is the overground? I don't like the colour orange.
Can I just say?
Fuck the overground. Fuck all of you. I have an Uber. I have to catch.
Okay? I'm so exhausted.
Fuck you. Tell the person.
Hello and welcome to Butterflies on the Wheel, where life's array of unsung bastards are finally held accountable for their actions. This week, three of us will present a real-life person they've encountered who has been guilty of some form of mild tomfool fuckery. As this week's gay judge, I will decide who has presented the most convincing case, and the winner will have the right to compete again in the next podcast, except not really, because this is the last episode of the goddamn series, thank God. The offenses we report here are all the more criminal because they are not recognized as crimes. But that stops with us. My name is the Honorable Gay Judge Sebastian Hendra. I'm joined by three experts.
Can you believe it?
In nothing. Jack Fardner.
Thank you. I really hope that doesn't
Counselor
stick.
Counselor Fardner.
Are we still doing this?
Oh, I don't know. Are we, Raghu? Taliban? Fuck! I couldn't think of another one.
Honestly, that is my favorite nickname.
And we are also joined by the lovely, I don't even know your last name, Elms?
Elms.
Caroline, quote, Kaz, unquote, yes. Elms.
That's what they call me on the
Esquire,
street.
Esquire, attorney at law, barrister, solicitor, and mother? No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Still open. See how the next 45 minutes go.
How are you, Caroline?
45 minutes. Fucking hell, Kaz. If this goes to 45 minutes, we'll be asleep. It is currently 10:55.
That's right.
55 minutes after you said you'd arrive. I know there's been an issue with Uber.
Listen.
There was this
Let's not dwell on the past. Or shall we?
10:56.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you wearing boxer shorts?
These are the most expensive items of clothing I've ever bought in my entire life.
And they look the cheapest.
Oh. Welcome to your last ever appearance on Butterflies on the Wheel.
Guys has brought the venomous spirit of this podcast
back.
I don't want to say it's a career highlight. I want to say it's a life highlight.
Holy shit. Okay,
this
that's
moment.
Not, that is not the spirit of this podcast.
So if I don't win...
if you don't shit on us, you can't get erect.
Who's that? Sophocles?
It's a pretty simple formula, Kaz. That's even your real name.
It's not.
The rules are simple. One, no more than 3 minutes for opening arguments. Two, the crime must be trivial. Leave Jeffrey Epstein to the actual courts and the big guy upstairs. Three, the punishment must fit the crime.
I'm getting emotional. That's the last time we're going to be doing it for this series.
I thought we were going to be doing another series after this.
Yeah, we will be doing another series.
And then another one after that. And then we'll fire Raghu, bring on Caroline permanently.
Yeah.
And finally make it.
Honestly, I cannot wait.
Caroline, for the listeners, can you just, I don't know how to put this. Who are you?
So, I'm Caroline. Rebecca directed me, and Rebecca being Jack's fiance.
Oh.
Let's not give her too much airtime.
Yeah, Rebecca directed me in a play last summer. I met Jack, thought he's all right, and now here we are.
Well, you sound about as qualified as the rest of us. why don't we cost the toin. Okay. Tap a keg. Oh, this is a really, really shitty bar from in New York.
Kaz, as the judge, you get to decide... as the guest, you get to decide whether you go first, second, or third before the toin costs. It's a very simple... Very simple question. Taking too long?
Instant. You can respond instantly.
People usually go quite quickly. Second?
Why do we go? Last.
The middle is the exact position where no one wants to go.
Well, the middle is like the bitch seat.
Depends
what you want. I go tap keg side up first.
They both say that, so.
Give me.
Hell of a joint or serving world-class beers?
Serving world-class beers.
Serving world-class beers!
Yes!
It is.
Hell yeah, I am.
I have no idea what this means.
Neither do I. I'm going to get mine out of the way. Hi, that's Danish for high. Today I would like to present another trivial criminal on this near podcast who committed their crime at the ultimate breeding ground for twats, the gym. The court will surely recognise that the gym attracts more toxic masculinity than Tinder, more arseholes than Grindr. Fuck you, Nick.
You have my attention.
Stop fucking shamelessly pandering, you piece of shit.
Gays are great. Fuck you, naked guy whistling in the changing room. Put your knob away immediately and dress yourself in silence, you swollen child. Fuck you, girl, in full makeup and £300 worth of pristine designer gym wear, taking selfies whilst walking on a treadmill for 20
Ooh,
minutes.
Get it, bitch.
And then, and then having a well-deserved cigarette as soon as you step outside. And fuck this meat bag, who is the subject of my story today. I have actually come up with a special... So this particular trivial criminal gym attacked me during one of my very rare workouts.
You are joking.
I hate the gym, but I also understand that when you are as good looking as I am, to have a less than average body would be an affront to, well, God. God, if you're listening, you're welcome. Oh, Kaz, hi. You're welcome. Cleek. But I don't know what any of the pulley things do. I don't believe I've ever squatted, at least not in the way that gym people refer to it. And until recently, I thought that deltoids were one of the baddies on Doctor Who. Anyway, I'm at the... Shut up. Anyway, I'm at the gym, and I do the following...
Why are you getting gayer as the story goes on?
I'm at the gym.
Anyway, I'm at the gym, and I do the following set. I sit down on the bench, and I do bicep curls with 16 kilogram weights, followed immediately by above-the-shoulder lifts. Then, finally, I stand up, and because my medically sharted knee can't handle any significant extra weight, I pick up two smaller 6 kilogram dumbbells, kind of lean forward... and simultaneously lift them up and in reverse flapping motion. Yes, yeah, sure. Attack the cripple.
Well, easy. Cripple is not the word we use.
Monster.
I go through this set twice, and I feel like I always feel after spending time at the gym, unfulfilled and hungry. But I'm like, come on, one final set. Let's just, you know, do this.
With... Sounds like sex.
We're just crying.
Everyone pour one out for Rebecca.
Sorry, Rebecca.
Come on, let's just...
It's not. At least it's not forever.
One day death will come.
With this set, the heavy lifting quite literally takes place at the start with the 16 kilogram weights. Those are a struggle, but I crushed it. Hashtag legend, hashtag swole. And relieved, I stood up and made a start on the flapping. And then I hear this voice behind me go, slow down! Now...
Again, all the flapping and slowing down makes it just sound like sex.
How are you doing,
yeah,
sex?
Like, Jesus, Raku. Flapping?
You don't know my moves.
Do I want to?
I don't know my moves.
Just absolute...
I don't know them either. Someone please touch me.
Now, naturally, I don't think that this is being directed towards me because I'm a human. And I'm thus not accustomed to being spoken to like a dog. So I carry on with my set, but the voice just gets louder and louder. Slow it down, mate! Mate, slow it down! Slow it down, mate! Slow it down! Counteroffer. Fuck off and die in a fire. How absolutely dare you, a total stranger, tell me what to do on the basis that the matter surrounding your bones takes up more room than mine. Just because you decided that developing a personality was harder than spending 3/4 of your life in a windowless, steroid-filled house of mirrors does not give you the right to provide unsolicited instruction upon me. What was it about my aura that gave you the impression that I was interested in receiving tips on my form? It was not like I was pumping 50 kg weights that could do me or others around me any damage. These were 6 kilogram weights. They practically float. They have the same amount of grams as you have brain cells. I am glad that you have finally found a place, a safe haven, if you will, where you can pump iron, flirt with your own reflection, practice counting up to 10, and forget, however briefly, about your minuscule penis. But this is not my safe place, and I don't deserve to be belittled by someone who I am actually certain I'm better at everything in life,
yeah,
other than moving an object from one place to another place, and then ultimately back to the place that it came from. Je reste.
The fact that you gestured like a higher place and then a lower place and then a higher place again makes me think you don't know what the fuck is going on in the gym.
All right, flappy fuck boy. Coming at me, telling me about my fucking form when you're just sitting around there wildly gyrating in bed.
I'm getting a lot of Capricorn energy from you, Jack. Oh. A lot of Capricorn energy.
Damn it.
Let's not commit another trivial crime by bringing astrology into it.
How very Leo of you.
I'm a Scorpio, obviously, which is the only zodiac sign I believe in. Was this person working at the gym?
I believe so.
Right.
Oh, that's the fuck, yeah.
During your flapping of little girl weights, were you doing it in such a way that would suggest to a professional that you maybe needed some help?
6 kilogram weights is all I'm going to say. And I plead the fifth, but I say 6 kilogram weights to you.
Okay. Doesn't feel relevant.
Amendment.
I don't understand what any of that meant.
You don't know what I plead the fifth is?
Listen, I know, I know in context what it means.
Clearly
you
don't.
To recite the Fifth Amendment.
No, I know it by heart. It's like you don't got to say shit if that shit will send you to jail.
Defined by heart?
Before we go any further and Sebastian slaps my wrist again, Mercury is currently in retrograde, listeners.
Oh,
and that is
my fucking
you're about to
God,
listen to
Kaz.
The weirdest fucking podcast of your life. Don't blame me, blame Mercury.
She's locked the doors.
Yeah, I've just started drawing.
This is as bad as
symbols
steroids.
On the walls. I'm like Jim Carrey in the number 23.
Oh my God. But isn't Mercury in the fucking retrograde. This is Mercury poisoning.
What it sounds like to me is that you were lifting probably weights that were too heavy for you to begin with. 16 is... I don't think you could lift 16. The guy noticed that you probably didn't know what you were doing and came over and was like, oh, why is he flapping like a ragu? And
I only flap in sexual situations.
Exactly.
The gym is the most sexual place.
No, the gym is
the
least
sexual
place.
I saw a guy's actual anus the other day. I was in the showers of the gym. Listen to me.
You,
I was at the one.
You
the
have end. My full attention.
Did someone say anus?
I went to the end cubicle and there's like translucent frosted glass and it was completely empty. So this guy came in next to me. So it was like standing next to someone at the urinal. It was really weird. And I noticed that he was in there for a while and I sort of turned my shower off and started drying myself. And then he still hadn't left, even though his shower had been off for longer than I had. Mm. And then I eventually just bit the bullet and walked out. And as I walked past him, he was drying his toes with his backside faced towards the corridor with the shower door wide open.
Nah. No, I know him.
I saw him. I saw his rusty sheriff's badge.
Counselor Flappy McFlapperson, can you please approach the bench?
Since I can't understand simple instructions, and I will slur through most of this story, so dear listener, please be forewarned. I thought we were supposed to do Glastonbury stories for the rest of time.
Wait, did we go to Glastonbury?
I don't know. I can't remember. I was very drunk for most of it.
Oh, you were.
I remember you being very tickled by my asking people if the police should eat my whole
ass.
Oh,
yeah.
Clarify?
Picture ragu. Now, it's the last night. We all want to go to sleep. Ragu was absolutely trash. We're all trying to get back from Janelle Monáe. Rebecca and I gleefully laughing as Ragu says, should I say to the police, eat my ass? Should I ask the police to eat my ass? Who wants to eat my ass? Surprisingly, no one did.
My whole ass. Sorry.
Sorry.
My five-day-old Glastonbury ass.
Eat my whole ass. I'm going to tell him. Eat my whole ass.
This is the only time somebody has imitated my accent
that's
accurate.
Kind of good, yeah.
I mean,
it started off Italian, I think.
Eat my whole ass. Sorry. So on this trip to this festival, I went with veterans of Glastonbury. Hmm. Namely, Jack, who has been there since he was 4.
You can call me Saviour.
And his parents, who are the only reason he has a personality.
Oh my.
Don't you stop. Get in, girl.
I do not like the reaction.
The library is open. Okay,
oh
this court is in session.
This court is in session. So this is what happened. My veteran colleague, Jack, told me that I would be racially profiled when we entered Glastonbury. Oh. Whereas nobody else would be. And these are the events that transpired. We walked through the security gates. My 4 pale-skinned colleagues sauntered through unmolested.
Like alabaster.
Like alabaster.
Aryan alabaster.
I'm sitting with several of them, and alabaster is the only thing that comes to mind when I look at their beautiful, beautiful, racially superior skins.
I'm going to jump out the window.
As I approached the woman who was imminently about to search me, I looked her in the face. She had smiled pleasantly at everyone before me, and as her gaze reached me, her eyes lit up as if to say, I found one.
This is so true.
true. Now, technicality anticipated, racial profiling is not a trivial crime. It is an actual crime.
Yes.
It is a crime against myself.
Humanity.
But the events that transpire are the crime that I want to highlight, not this disgusting piece of profiling. So what happens when I reach this overeager beaver is that she says, oh, can I please search your bags? And this being Glastonbury, I have four bags, not one.
Legend.
She asks if she can search one of them. So I, being a sort of, you know, a compliant citizen, I put all of my bags on the counter. She picks one of them at random and searches one pocket. And then it's like, you're free to go.
No.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. She was just like...
I thought it was quite quick.
It was incredibly quick because she picked one pocket from one of my four bags and was just like, yeah, that's fine.
She didn't even look at the bomb bag.
What did she see?
Nope. She... Nothing. Literally,
well, he strapped that to his chest.
She... The pocket she picked was the pocket of my haversack, which has the waterproof in it, which was not in my haversack at the time.
Mm.
So she found nothing and she just let me go.
She's, no, tell you what she did. She saw the Mac and went, have you looked at the forecast, you fucking idiot?
So the crime that she commits is not racially profiling me, which is an actual crime. The trivial crime that she commits is that she profiles me, makes me feel like I am unwanted, and then proceeds to not actually search my bags for any contraband that I might have brought. So it was an utterly useless endeavor.
Yeah.
Mm. One designed only to fulfill... all I can imagine is a really weird kink that she has.
So that is the happiness that she got from seeing a brown person.
Well, no, it's the happiness and then it's the ineptitude of the actual search. I don't mind if you cavity search me after you've profiled me.
Yeah.
That would at least make sense.
Yeah.
This makes no sense. What was the point?
I think she just wanted to show you that she could do what she did.
Exactly. I think that is the case
as
well.
Due to the eagerness of her beaver. I mean, what?
No, that's correct. Legally correct.
I can just picture her beady beaver eyes staring at you and being like, not today, Taliban. And then you lift that.
But then why one pocket? I don't get that.
Because it's a power play. Because like, it's to demonstrate that she can.
Hmm. Kaz, you're a woman. Why did you do this?
Surprise. I want to say that I watched this unfold, and literally 30 seconds before, Raghu turned to me and goes, watch this. And I was like, ha! And I was like, ha! The thing that was genuinely most unnerving about it was that the woman, it was very calm. It was kind of a smile as if she'd seen an old friend. And then it was like, step into my chamber for admittedly like 15 seconds.
So literally 15 seconds.
Like, you know, I can see the trivial crime aspect of it.
I think she might have been on the end of her day. And that she just had one more brownie to do.
She was looking for the brownie.
And she saw her eyes light up. She was like, got one pocket. If that is the case, then is that a trivial crime? She was just happy that her day was done.
Also,
she,
may I say one pocket? I was like, surely, you know, this is a good thing. Because we all went, oh, here we fucking go. Before any of us had blinked, Raghu was like, right, let's rock.
Mm.
And into the festival we went. Mm. Gallivanting.
We four of us unmolested, me molested.
Yeah. Okay.
Trivially molested.
There was a guy next to you. The guy had taken out all of his cigarettes. His straights, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
And was
that.
Going through them and going through one.
I think that's... Actually, I remember that now because that was what pissed me off. The guy next to him got like mega search. Like his fucking cigarette. And I was just like...
got a proper search.
Well, this is it. Prepare for like a fucking bumhole cleansing.
Yeah.
Like,
was he brown too?
No,
he was white. He was alabaster.
That search looked really exciting. There was like a crowd forming around.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, whoa, what's in there?
I was quite keen to see what was going to happen.
So basically the trivial crime is that you were disappointed.
That she didn't let him watch what was happening.
Counselor Helms?
Helms.
Wait. Counselor Underwhelms? Okay, you can go.
Too close to the bone. Okay. Sorry, this is a big moment for me.
Yeah.
Me too. Why are you crying?
Mercury's in retrograde. Haven't you heard?
Fresh out of the glorious, sun-drenched, cider-infused love fest that was Glastonbury 2019. Sorry, I'm late. Has anyone mentioned that we went to Glastonbury?
Continue, Councillor, please.
It seems only right that the trivial crime I bring to today's table also took place at a live music event many moons ago. In the words of Kanye, I want to take y'all back to them better times, specifically the Enemy Awards Tour 2012. Yes, 2012. The twilight of a weird and wonderful era of British indie rock music. Highlights include The Kooks, The Horrors, and anyone that was featured on the TV show Skins. The Enemy Awards Tour, thank you. The Enemy Awards Tour was a sort of annual variety show put on by the Enemy magazine. And the lineup that year was, wait for it, Azealia Banks, Tribes, Metronomy, before a headline slot from the mighty Two Door Cinema Club. 2012 indeed.
Yeah.
I was 17 years old, and whilst my teenage years were, in hindsight, pretty fucking embarrassing, one thing I had going for me was my love of live music. I emphasise, going to gigs was my fucking shit. Brixton Academy, Wembley Arena, Hammersmith Apollo, Camden Electric Ballroom, you name it, I'd fucking been there. I was not averse to a mosh pit, and apparently am still not, as evidenced by my recent stumbling mosh display at the Billie Eilish Glasto set, forever immortalised in high-def Technicolor by the BBC.
Yes.
The point is, over my adolescence, I had found my space. My joy of joys, the beep of the ticket scanner as you entered a venue, the smell of beer and sticky floors, the rush of adrenaline as the lights went down, music kicking in. I loved it.
Beautiful.
Cut to, then, the gig in question. I'm with a friend in the standing area, because of course, I haven't sat down at a gig since seeing S Club 7 in 2003.
S Club.
There ain't no party like an S Club party.
The gig is in full swing and I'm having a good time. Then somewhere towards the end of Tribes, before the start of Metronomy, an older man, I want to say mid-50s, early 60s, two pints in hand, comes out of nowhere and pushes his way in front of me and my mate. Fine. It's a gig. We all move around. This guy's just found a new spot. Sure. Let's just enjoy Metronomy. Metronomy arrive, the crowd cheer. Then as the song starts, I hear a slow and half-hearted way. And the aforementioned gentleman directly in front of me slowly moves back, putting his full weight on me, my mate, and some poor other bloke before doing the same thing forwards. This slow way charade proceeded to happen every 2 minutes or so for the next 40 minutes. Let's clarify. Yeah.
My God.
Let that one sink in. And let's fucking clarify. This wasn't a mosh. It was just one guy. It was just one guy, wasted, leaning on me and two other people, turning around, grinning as he did it.
One man mosh.
As it went on, the internal rage built up, but I was hesitant. I didn't want to be that person complaining at a gig, but come on! The bloke to my left had escaped, so it was now just me and my mate in the firing line. A little to my right, and crucially, not in the fray, some indie dude who spent the entire gig with his arms glued around his girlfriend. You know the ones.
Mm.
Right, I'd had enough. Hey, come on, please stop doing this. That was my...
Was that in quotes?
That's something like... This is what made me sad remembering
verbatim.
The story.
That's verbatim.
To this day, I cannot remember what I said, but my 17-year-old pre-anxiety self went, hey, come on. Please stop doing this. Sort of trying to have a joke, right? I'm like, this guy likes banter. Let's, you know, have a fucking laugh. Hey, come on. Please stop doing this. The old man turns around sharply and slurs. This is what you paid for. You don't... I'm reliving trauma. This is what you paid for. You don't like it? Go sit down. This is what I paid for. Sorry. This is what I paid for. The old man laughs towards the indie dude on my right, who I turn to for backup. And here's the real fucking crime. He looks from me to the man and smiles the smuggest smile I have ever seen in my 24 years of existence. Then rounds it off with a soft laugh.
Et tu, indie.
This fucker. Entirely unaffected by the situation, propped safely away behind his back-combed hipster girlfriend, laughs! He laughs. That smug smile, that soft laugh, This is what you paid for. Have honestly enraged my soul for the last 7 years. And so, for the crime of being the most smug, infuriating double act, I hereby charge Slingshot Man an indie wanker before this court. Thank you.
Well done. Very good.
Never trust an indie.
The real crime.
The real
no,
crime.
No, but seriously, this is exactly what this podcast is about. Like, people not understanding your emotional state at every second of every day.
But also remembering, also clinging onto something for nearly a decade.
But this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anytime, I mean, I had this at Glastonbury, anytime I'm in a standing thing, in the back of my mind, and maybe this is because I'm a Cancer and I cling on to grudges.
Yeah, that must be it.
Scientifically.
That must be a weird feeling of clinging on to grudges to the extent that you set up a podcast to relive them over and over again.
You're really sad, Kaz. Come on.
Touché. I mean,
figure it out.
But this is the thing, right? In the back of my mind, a flicker goes, like, don't be like, don't be annoying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was entirely in the fucking right.
Absolutely.
And it was this sense that I built, and you can hear the passion in my voice, because God, the trauma. This was my space. I was a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
I listened to My Chemical Romance and played The Sims 2. I mean, nothing's changed. I still do that. But I just want you to know.
Yeah.
So this was, you know, you had that one thing as a teenager where you're like, well, at least I'm good at this.
Yeah.
At least I know this.
Yeah. Sucking dick was mine.
Obviously, there's the...
This is why I carry grenades.
Obviously, there's the crime, and obviously, he's a complete, utter douchebag. But also, how old was he again?
Late 50s, early 60s. He was significantly older than everyone else.
If you are in your late 50s, don't talk to 17-year-old girls unless they're your daughter.
Yeah.
Especially in public, because it's never going to go down well. And also, to turn around and, like, have a go at someone, like a 17-year-old child. It's just
the ganging up. It's that they were in indie league together.
Yeah. And also, yeah, crucially, the guy on the right, literally, you just know if this guy had so much has touched his girlfriend, he would be up in arms.
Oh, like, do you think? He strikes me as the kind of person who would be like, yeah, sure, mate, fine. He'd be like, the drunk guy's like, oh, I'll have a go at your girl for his tits. And the guy's like, yeah, you can. It'll be funny.
Like, fuck me. Like, and like, sort of like the laughter, like, stupid girl, sit in the seating area. I don't want to sit in the fucking seating area. You know where the mosh pit is down the front, but you can't get there, can you?
You're
a fucking idiot.
You're the most mosh out of all of us. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Bash, hated the Billie Eilish mosh that Caroline was telegrammed in being in.
The telegram. I'm glad you got telegrammed by the BBC.
I stand by what I said.
I framed it.
But no, we all know I hate mosh pits and youth organization of any kind.
I think it's a bit of a stretch to call a mosh pit a youth organization.
That's a good term for it.
I think the smug indie guy was just a coward.
Yeah, like who's worse? I reckon indie guy.
I don't know. I don't know worse, but I think the indie guy is just more pathetic.
Yeah,
and therefore more trivial.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Counselor Overwhelms. I'd like to hear some punishments now, please.
My punishment is every time that this guy's on a machine or something, or a bench press or something, a much bigger guy will come up to him and say, "Mate, you gonna hurry up on that? I want to have a go."
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I feel that.
A much bigger guy will come up to him and ask him to basically hurry up and move on because he wants to go on a set. I'll edit some of that around.
Great.
I hate that punishment so much.
Why don't you just club him with a dumbbell? Dumbbell?
Club him to death with a dumbbell.
Club him to death.
Okay, Raghu, do you have a punishment for...
I do indeed. So Eager Beaver, because she exercised her power over me arbitrarily, and because she telegraphed her intentions to do so, I want every slight that she suffers in life, every embarrassment, every dumping, every firing, and I hope there are many of both, to be telegraphed to her. I want her to see them coming. I don't want them to be a surprise. I don't want her to be able to feel outraged. I don't want her to be able to feel that something was unfair. Everything bad that happens to her, she should feel an enormous amount of guilt because she saw it coming.
Dark. Counselor Kaz. Dr. Counselor Kaz.
Thank you.
Can you please give us your punishment?
So... I was going to go for like a universal one for both parties, but I think I'm going to split it up a bit.
Okay.
So for old
unorthodox,
guy...
Unorthodox, but okay.
She's a maverick. I've never seen her type in these halls.
That's right. Keep interrupting the woman. for the next 7 years, because that's how long I've had to go through my trauma. Slingshot Man, in a similar vein to Ragu, Slingshot Man, anything significant that happens in his life, the birth of his granddaughter, the demise of his best friend,
specific.
You know, watching his favorite last episode. Anything that happens in his life is just going to suddenly in his ears, he'll hear, "This is what you paid for!" Really loudly. He's climaxing during sex, which I presume he doesn't have, but, you know, if we're being nice.
He pays for it.
This is what you paid for! Literally anything. I don't care what it is. Because that's what I hear in the recesses of my mind.
Yeah.
And fantastic. Then for Indie Boy, just an old classic, I just thought, his girlfriend won't let go of him. She doesn't let go. Sweetie, babe, I think maybe you need to go to the toilet because you're pissing on my... I'm not letting go. I wonder where he is now.
Probably
still holding
probably
on.
Covered in piss and shit of his girlfriend. Jeez.
Truly, truly fantastic. And honestly, I'm glad that you actually had some punishments that made sense and were hilarious.
Good point.
Thank you.
Ragu, your crime is confusing. Again.
The fact that I'm both the smartest and drunkest person on this podcast is not...
Has done you no favors. Not one single favor, ever. And you don't learn, do you? Ragu, you have lost.
You come third, sir. Good
Jack,
day.
Jack, I really liked your story. Mostly because I like to hear you lie about the amount of weight that you can lift. But there's no place for falsehood on this podcast.
Ooh.
And also, your punishment
sucked.
Made no sense.
Yeah.
Kaz, your story was long.
You know, life is long.
But I thought that it struck a chord. It struck a chord with me.
Thank you.
It's the reason that we're all here.
Yeah.
Which is that the world is set up to be against us, and we all suffer as a result. But
and
that's why we come here. That's why we come.
Fuckboys.
Do not interrupt me. Dude. That's why we all come here. And so, Kaz, you are the winner of this week's podcast.
Yes! Thank you. God, I feel vilified. I'm getting this tattooed on my back.
No, you've been vindicated.
Vilified?
No, vilified, definitely vindicated.
So I've just totted the final scores for Series 2. In last place, joint last place is Kaz and Rebecca. In
fuck's sake.
In third place,
the women last,
with
sure.
three victories, Sebastian... And in joint top place, Jack and Ragu.
Yeah! Woo!
With four. Can I just say, Sebastian, you've been the judge on 9 episodes and you have awarded me a victory.
That's not possible.
9 episodes overall. In all our catalogue, you've been the judge on 9 episodes and you've awarded me a victory twice out of 9. And you've openly regretted it on one of them.
Let it be a lesson to you. Dr. Astrologer Kaz, thank you so much for joining us this week and really breathing life back into this podcast because it was on the way out.
Thank you. We were all thinking it.
That's all we have time for this week. And also, that's all we have time for this series.
Yeah.
So we'll be back whenever we fucking feel like it.
Yeah.
Soon. You can follow us. Actually, could you please subscribe to this podcast and also write a review and star it 4 stars or 5.
5 stars. Fuck you, 4.
Or,
five
but
stars.
Nothing beneath 4. Follow us on Twitter at Butterflies Pod. Follow us on Instagram at Butterflies Podcast. And write in your stories so that we can read them in next series.
Butterfliespodcast@gmail.com. Bye, everyone. Thanks
for listening. Stay safe in the retrograde.
Thanks for listening.